no one that can match me. My style is impetuous, my defense is impregnable, and I'm just ferocious. I want your heart.
I could have been a contender.
The new world champion, Daniel Hill.
Here I come. Bang! This is the Manny Pacquiao who has dominated boxing.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
I am the greatest!
And thanks to Boxer, great sporting equipment apparel, particularly boxing apparel, B-O-X-A. You go to boxer.com.au. It is time to catch up with Sri Viswasam, radio ringside co-host, journo with eastsideboxing.com, and an encyclopedic knowledge of the fight game makes him the perfect man to sit with me tonight as Peter Maniatis is in China. How are you, Sri?
Good, finey. Good to be here.
Well, we've got a couple of fantastic guests tonight, Zach Dunn and Michael Zareffa. Michael Zareffa, our local product, middleweight, who so bravely went to Russia last year and fought a valiant fight. His only blemish on what has been a great fight record has got a new appointment.
Yeah, well, he had a fight scheduled a couple of weeks ago, but that actually got cancelled due to injury for Michael. So it'll be good to get an update on him and see where he's at. And
hopefully, so there's not a set next opponent?
Not at the moment for okay. Michael. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to get an update from him, and he might be able to tell us something else.
And Zach Dunn, of course, has claimed an IBO title. Where's he headed?
Yeah, well, he's headed for a defence of his title, and that's scheduled for October. And that fight was just announced recently, so he'll be able to fill us in all on his new opponent and what lies ahead.
Now, some golf scores and some real eye-catching scores already on the final day of play, of course, delayed. So we've got Monday night golf at the Open at the iconic St Andrews. Well, more than iconic, at the home of golf, the birthplace of golf. And the leaders at 12 under, of course, are the amateur Paul Dunn. That's a wonderful story that we've been, and all the golf fans have been amazed by. Lewis Oosthuizen, the South African, and our own Jason Day. Jason Day will go off in the second last group with Jordan Spieth, one shot behind those three who are on 12 under. They are scheduled to tee off approximately for Spieth and for Jason Day at 11:20, which is just under an hour from now, 50 minutes from now, and then the final group of Oosthuizen and Dunn will tee off at 11:30. But there's been some big movers, albeit dramatic, but one would think, as this is another day for good scoring, brave efforts that will not result in a title, the old claret jug. Phil Mickelson today has galloped up the leaderboard. He's currently tied for fifth at 10 under, 6 under through 16 holes, but with the road hole, the difficult road hole, and the 18th to play, he could possibly get to 11 under, miraculously to 12 under, and probably not enough. And with him on that incredible run of success is another amateur. Oliver Schneiderens has gone 6 under today and sits at a wonderful 10 under for the tournament. Now, here's the move that could keep going. Luke Donald is 10 under, only two off the lead, through 12, with birdieable holes still to come. There's been some good news for the Australians, particularly a great friend of this program who is putting himself in the mix. After 10 holes, Marcus Fraser is 4 under today for a total of 9 under the card. That leaves him only 3 behind the leaders, and if the wind was to blow this afternoon, it has been predicted, who knows? Other Australians doing well. A good move by Greg Chalmers. Through 6 holes, he's 2 under to be 8 under overall. Jeff Ogilvie, 2 under through 13 to be 7 under. And a great effort by Scott Arnold, a young Aussie who shot a 6 under today to be 5 under overall. John Sendon, 5 under, 1 under for the day through 13. The only setback today for the Aussies, just off Stephen Bowditch. And unfortunately for Steve Bowditch, I believe he has bogeyed the first hole. He has indeed, to drop back to 7 under. Matt Jones is 6 under through 6, even par for the day. And as I said, the Aussies are mounting good challenges across the card, but at the moment, it's fair to say, not good enough. If they can't get into the clubhouse at, say, 14 under, you wouldn't think you could win the tournament. Of course, the leaders at 12 under yet to tee off. But if it blows, who knows? So, What else is happening in the world of boxing, Sri? What are the headlines coming out of the international scene?
Yeah, well, it was not the busiest week in terms of boxing action from a big name standpoint, but Peter, he went to Macau and he saw Nonito Donaire make his comeback, and he had an impressive win on the weekend. So the opponent wasn't...
Was it a world title bout?
No, it wasn't a world title bout. Yeah, it was just more of a comeback fight, just sort of keep him getting back into the swing of things after his big loss last time around. So, an impressive win, knockout for Nonito Donaire. Also, a massive super middleweight clash out in Germany between Arthur Abraham and Robert Stieglitz, which was their fourth fight. And this time, Abraham took out the victory well, and he makes it now 3-1 in their series. And I think that ends that'll end their four-fight series. And he retains the WBO super middleweight title. So a big win on that side. And some more fights scheduled for the next month or two. One that was announced recently was the heavyweight title clash between Vladimir Klitschko and Tyson Fury, which will be massive. That was announced last week.
We know Klitschko's bona fides, but where does his opponent come from, and how legitimate is he as a genuine contender?
He's from the UK. He's undefeated. He's been beating decent level opposition for some time. He's a real showman and a great entertainer. Certainly keeps everyone interested. He's been calling out Klitschko for some time. But now he's gotten his opportunity. In terms of the heavyweights, he's probably one of the three or four guys that everyone in the heavyweights division are interested to see step up for a title shot. So I think this will be a good fight. It is in November, so it's some time away. But I think Klitschko should prevail. But
where's the fight being held?
The fight's being held in... I can't remember where they've signed it, because he's from he fights in Germany and Tyson fights in England. So I'm not sure of the venue, but it was announced last week. So in terms of whether that's going to play a role, it will be interesting, because Klitschko is a knockout puncher and he has an 80%+ knockout ratio. So if it goes the distance, even if it does go the distance, Klitschko normally does well in terms of outpointing his opponent. So it will be quite interesting.
The big advantage that Klitschko has over his opponents is reach, size. How tall is he?
Six.
I was going to say 6.5 feet tall. How big is Fury?
He's around the same. So yeah, he's
good.
Good for
as much as those fights that are almost impossible to win are the ones where Klitschko dwarfs his opponent, and with between reach and power, it's a mismatch. But it's good if they are similarly weighted, that helps. Unsurprisingly, the fight is in Germany, Dusseldorf.
Yeah, well, that'll make sense in terms of Klitschko's marketability. He can pack out football stadiums. So he fought last in the States, and he had quite a... And his opponent had good support, so it kind of worked out well in that sense, because he was fighting an American. But in terms of this fight coming up, the UK fans make it easy for them to travel to Germany, so I'm sure they'll have a packed house. But I reckon the support might be, Tyson Fury will have a pretty good support there as well.
Let's move on. Michael Zarefa has been part of the program, and we hope we've been a little part of his rise in the world of boxing. We had Michael come into the studio for one of his earlier fights. It would have been a single-digit number, maybe his sixth or seventh fight. He was a young, very dedicated, fresh face, but skinny, hopeful boxer. And he's rounding out and maturing into a genuinely powerful middleweight. We know he's got great ticker. He's been knocked down and got up to win before. And the fight in Russia was maybe the best of the lot, even though he lost it.
Yeah, it was. He put on a great performance, and certainly tough to win in Russia. And he travelled well, and he put on an admirable performance. So we're hoping, it's onwards and upwards from there.
Well, a recent setback for Michael Zarefa has not been a loss, but an opponent who ended up being a no-show. It does throw things in. It throws a spanner in the works, of course, because fights are spaced, preparations are spaced with the ultimate aim of building the strength and building the skill set. So we'll find out what is next. What is the replacement for that fight from the man himself? Good evening, Michael.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good. It's never ideal when a fight that is planned, expected and trained for doesn't eventuate.
100%. Like, it was definitely a disappointment getting injured. I trained accordingly to that fight super hard, and down at Power Play, Jay Nader has been pushing me ridiculously. So I was going in that fight with huge confidence, and I did believe that we could have brought that title home. But like I said, you know, there's ups and downs with the sport, and you've just got to take it when it comes, the good with the bad.
So your opponent, Kerry Hope, from the UK, came down. You meant to fight in Queensland. So that was a pretty good matchup in terms of the level of opponent and the challenge that it presented. What are your thoughts in terms of your next opponent now, given that fight didn't eventuate?
Oh, look, you know, take nothing away. Like, Hope was, we knew going into that fight it was going to be a huge fight. You know, Hope's fought some pretty big names. He's fought Proxer. He's beaten Proxer. He's fought him twice. You know, we studied him well, and we knew what needed to be done. But like I said, my team and I, we want to fight the best. We believe, you know, at 23 years old, you know, I've proven myself before. I've fought in some tough guys when people didn't want to fight them. I'm not fast. I train hard. Like I said, I push my body to the limits, and my team and I, we want to fight the best. So anyone in the middleweight division, like I said, we're happy to fight. Like I said, we don't run for no one. So yeah, I'm looking forward to fighting some bigger opponents.
When you said that this opponent, and he is well credentialed, was going to be a challenge, do you believe that there's an opportunity to fight him again? And if not, can your next opponent match up to the billing? Because not only training for a fight, but building up mentally for the next level is something that you don't want to, I imagine, you don't want to pull back from.
100%. Like I said, I'll challenge Hope again. And like I said, if he doesn't want to fight me...
How easy is it to find another person of similar credentials willing to fight you?
Like I said, if it's not Hope, it's going to be someone who's above Hope. Like I said, we're not taking any backward steps from now on. It's only up from here. Like I said, we want to fight the best. Like I said, we train ridiculously hard, so I'm not going to just sit back and fight guys that don't have much credentials. So we want to fight the best, and if it's not going to be Hope, it's going to be someone above Hope. And like I said, we've got an awesome team. Michael Tamura's just jumped on board, and he's now my manager. You know, my trainer, Joe Nader, who's also a mentor as well. You couldn't ask for a better guy and friend. Together, we've got an awesome team, and we believe we can go all the way.
Given that you were training so hard for this fight and incurred an injury, but nevertheless a big, big training effort, what do you do between now and the settling of your next date to not lose all of that fitness? Or is it simply thrown out and you have to start again from square one when the next date comes along?
We haven't had a day off. You know, we obviously have been limited on what we can and can't do. I don't have my right hand, obviously, as it was injured, but it's coming good now. Like I said, we've sitting down this week and organising, so I'm back in September, and we're going to, like I said, fight, obviously, someone with huge credentials and someone that's up there on the rankings and bounce back. But like I said, our training hasn't stopped. It's actually a blessing in disguise, as my trainer says. It's made me a lot stronger mentally, physically. I've worked on my weaknesses. And I'm going to make some noises when I bounce back, and I can't wait to get in that ring and dance under the lights, yeah.
Michael, in terms of your trip to Russia, you fought Arif Magomedov, and he had a fight on the weekend against an undefeated American, Derek Webster, and he won on points, and he's ranked number four with the WBA. Would you be looking to have a rematch with him at some point?
100%. Like I said, I've sat down with my team and my manager and trainer and stuff, and we've spoke about it, and it's a fight that I definitely want, regardless if it's good or not. Like I said, he did beat me. It's my only loss, and he's got something that I want. So 100%, like I said, I'm not ducking any fights. You know, obviously you've got to take them at the right time, but like I said, it's a fight I definitely want to get back, and I do believe I can beat him. And yeah, hopefully it all goes through.
We know that you're quite happy to travel overseas, Michael. You proved that against Magomedov. But to really engage with the Australian, not just fight public, but general sporting public, the ideal scenario would be to have a big fight in Australia. We'd love it to be in Melbourne. Is that hard? Is that hard for an Australian boxer? Because we saw last year so many of our guys go overseas, and it wasn't a great year results-wise, but certainly in terms of having a crack, we did it. But I'd like to see us get that home ground advantage every now and then.
Oh, like I said, it'd be an Aussie boxer's dream to fight for a world title in his own backyard, but unfortunately, we haven't been lucky enough. We do have the talent. We do produce a lot of talented fighters, like you said, Zach Dunn. You know, Jake Carr, you've got a lot of up-and-comers. But it's just, we've just fallen, I think, a little bit unlucky. But I'm not fussed. Like I said, I'm happy to travel and fight, like I said, and give it my best shot. At the end of the day, when I lose, you know what I mean, it doesn't come down to that. It just comes down to fighting the best and giving it your absolute all on the night. And whatever the outcome is, like you said, you can't convince all the judges. And sometimes it just doesn't go your way. And unfortunately, in Russia, that's what happened to myself. But like I said, I didn't take a backward step the whole 10 rounds and want to fight bigger and better. So, yeah, I just can't wait to get back. Like I said, we're sealing the deal in September for my comeback fight after my injury. And like I said, we're going to make noises.
And in terms of the injury, you're back to 100% fitness now?
Look, I can't let too much out, Sheree, but all I can say is that we're ready to go in September. All clearances should be done in September, and like I said, we want to fight basically whoever's on top in the middleweight division.
Well, it's positive mind. We know that the body of Michael Pretty Boy Zarafa is always in A1 nick, and I pity the next opponent because hungrier, keener and meaner makes for a very difficult matchup for whoever it is. We look forward to finding out and bring it on.
100%. No, I can't wait. Like I said, it's been a blessing in disguise, and I couldn't have done it without my sponsors.
Give him a big pump up.
Yeah, like Paul Rowe from Aussie Home Loans. I couldn't chase my dreams and goals without him and his family jumping on board and helping me out. Peter, Craig and Jason from Flavours Fruit and Veg. They do a lot for me as well. And also, my trainer, Joe Nader, has got a power play promotion on the 22nd of August with literally the best international fighters. It's a show not to be missed. So if anyone wants tickets, jump on the website, powerplaypromotions.com.au, and definitely don't miss out, guys. It's going to be a huge show.
Michael, thanks again. Look forward to the next chat.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks heaps.
Thanks, Michael.
Michael, Pretty Boy Zarafa. Well, we did tell you about Phil Mickelson, who was, after 16 holes, 10 under the card, only 2 off the lead, 6 under for the round. He's dropped 27 spots back for a tie. I think it's, a tie for 32nd now, because he shot a triple bogey at the road hole. A 7 ain't what he was after on the par 4, but we know it's one of the hardest holes in golf. So Mickelson's big last round is over. This segment is over. But plenty more boxing when we return, because Zach Dunn will be our special guest. Action and plenty of the golf will run through the leaderboard out of the 11 o'clock news. But we've got an undefeated champion to join us now. He's the IBO Super Middleweight Champion of the World. And Zach Dunn will defend his title on the 17th of October in Melbourne against he's a well-travelled and well-credentialed opponent, Kadri Ermus. Now, I haven't even checked it. Is Kadri Ermus Turkish?
Well, he actually fights out of Germany, but yep. I'm not sure of his background.
Anywho, always great to catch up with Australian boxing talent, especially when it's as precocious. I was going to say it's no longer promising when it is as outstanding as is the case with Zach Dunn. Good evening, Zach.
Hey, how you going in the studio?
We're going particularly well. There's a lot of sport on for a Monday night. We're not used to golf being on, and they're funny sort of bed partners, golf and boxing, but plenty of good boxers like their golf. Do you ever have a hit of the little ball?
Yeah, I used to when I was a bit younger. You know, I've been meaning to get back out and have a hit again, but just haven't found the time lately.
I mean, I've never boxed, but the closest I've ever come is when I'm playing golf because...
Yeah.
Well, I play so badly and my mates get under my skin. It's occasionally very close.
A bit of a temper.
Yeah, it's very close to 3 rounds. But let's talk boxing. And first of all, your opponent comes with a record that includes losses, but also includes some pretty powerful wins. He's just on paper read. he looks like somebody who might throw a bit of leather and take a few chances.
Yeah, he's like, you know, he's the IBF East-West champions, European champion. So, you know, like, I'm pretty sure he's going to, you know, like, we've gave him plenty of notice for the fight, so he's going to come super fit and ready to try and take my title off him.
Zach, you recently won the IBO title. You had your title fight at the end of June against Max Bursak, who's certainly a worthy title challenger. How did you find the big stage of competing for a world title?
It's totally different to just the standard fight. You know, like you know, the when I had my victory over Max Bursak, you know, he was doing anything to try win the fight. He started throwing his head and his elbows. At me, you know, like I had to really work to try and avoid some nasty shots.
And in terms of Bursak, he really went down to the scorecards in the end, and the scorecards were reasonably close. Did you feel that at the end you'd done enough to win the title?
Yeah, I knew I had it, like unanimous decision, but like having felt that way in the amateurs before, like, you know, I know that what the judges can do in the amateurs, that, you know, they can steal the fight from you, rip you off, and you know, like, so I was a bit nervous at the end as well, you know, just hoping that wouldn't happen, and it didn't. So yeah, I was real happy with the win.
Zach, an 18-0-0 record, as you have undefeated in 18 fights, is great. It's better than great.
Yeah.
It's perfect, but
it's gone along pretty good. Yeah,
it's going along perfectly. But sometimes the O comes with its own pressures, and we've seen boxers, particularly at even the top end of the sport, but right across the sport, maybe make some decisions in terms of future opponents and direction based more on defending the undefeated rather than attacking the best opponents. It's certainly not been the case with you.
Yeah, that's not the case with me. No.
Not at all. Is there a temptation to do what other boxers have done and maybe take some local fights, pad it out a bit, or you are going to continue to strive for bigger and better opposition?
Yeah, like I want to bring like some good international, win some real good international fights. You know, hopefully next year get a shot at the WBO world title or the WBC world title, and bring some exciting world titles back here and defend them back in our home country.
Well, having the IBO title certainly gives you a bit more of a profile internationally. And in terms of the other sanctioning bodies, you did mention the WBC there. So yeah. Are you looking to establish a higher ranking within the WBC by fighting some ranked opponents within the WBC?
Now that I've got, like, I plan to do that in the future, yes. But now that I've got, my next fight locked in, I'm just worried about one fight at a time. And, you know, my promoter, Barry Michael Promotions, will work on where we go in the future fights.
Are you a super middleweight forever and a day?
I walk around about 80, 81 kilo. And, I make weight. I make super middle pretty comfortably, and I feel strong. Yeah, like, I'll stay super middle for a long time.
You're working the busy side of the street. There's no lack of quality, depth, or options, possibilities within the middleweight and super middleweight divisions. It allows you, I guess, and everybody in there who's ranked, to almost choose from a menu of opponents. If you could have your pick of anybody in those two divisions for not just fighting, but also for a chance of winning and beating a good opponent, who do you think you'd be? Who would you love to be pitched against that you think you could really take and take their position in the division?
Within both divisions? 12 months, towards the end of the year, or hopefully next year, I'd love to get Arthur Abraham for the WBO world title.
Gee, that's timely, isn't it?
Yeah, it's perfect timing.
Yeah, and
I think I'm ready for that fight, and I'll bring it home to Australia and Melbourne, Australia, and bring some real exciting fights back here.
Yeah, he did have an impressive win on the weekend, so he's certainly up there in terms of profile, and he hasn't really decreased after the losses that he suffered a few years ago. Do you feel that in terms of your growth that you'll need to go and fight overseas and like campaign, like as we've seen guys like Will Tomlinson do, set up camp in the States and work to get opponents overseas? Or do you feel like you can still base yourself in Melbourne and get fighters to come across like you've done with Bursak and now Ermis?
Well, for this next fight coming up, next month in August, I'm actually going away on a training camp to Miami for a month. And I'm training with a well-known Cuban coach over there, and have been trained with, you know, Cuban fighters in the past in the amateurs. I know the Cuban fighters are some of the best in the world, so I know I've got a real good coach on my hand, real good coach for next month.
Zach, after a 2015 that was pretty horrific for all of our top boxers apart from yourself, it's fair to say that the mantle of Australia's premier boxer is either up in the air or you might even have it already. Is that important to you, to be the to be the best in this country?
Yeah, it is important to me to be the, not just the best in this country, but the best in the world. So, like our Australian fighters haven't been doing too good on the world scene, and I'm prepared to change that.
It's an added responsibility because those of us who love the sport and general sports fans always want to know who our most likely world champion is. And at the moment, you're our world champion. There's possibly a couple of others, a ring in here or there, but you are flying the flag.
Yeah. Like, you know, I've got the IBO world title. I just won that 3 weeks ago. It was an amazing win. I'm happy with it. But I'm not going to stop just there. I'm going to unite a couple more world titles in my career and show the Australian public and the fighting fans that we can have exciting fights in our home country, world title fights.
The fight you had with Bursak was the first time you went the full 12. Most of your fights have been well within the distance. You've got 15 knockout wins from 18 victories. How did you find fighting the full 12 rounds in terms of your fitness, conditioning, and being able to keep up that pace for the whole distance?
Yeah, for such a busy fight, you know, like I came in the fittest I've ever been. Like my corner work, my trainer Danny Kay, who's my main coach in the corner, like the corner work was super spot on in the breaks, was super relaxed. I was for a hard fight. I felt like I did it because I was super fit. I did it super easy.
Zach, that's why you're the super middleweight champion of the world.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think we're going to have to call. What's your boxing ring nickname?
Zach Dynamo Dunn.
Nah, it's Superman. And Superman
like the
does...
magician, like the magician.
Yeah. Superman doesn't get beaten. Either does Zach Dunn.
Yeah, Superman, Zach Superman.
Yeah, you bet.
That sounds right, yeah.
Hey, while it fits, who wouldn't want to be called Superman?
Yeah,
and at the moment, it fits. And we're very confident, at least. You can never be sure of anything. And as you said, this guy's been tempered by, like steel, with some very tough fights in competitive German fighting and fighting in and around Germany and Eastern Europe. So he'll be a genuinely live opponent, and it's a great opportunity. As you said, Melbourne fight fans can turn out, have shown that they will turn out for a real fight, for a genuine world title bout. That's what we've got on the 17th of October. Good luck in the build-up.
Thank you. Everyone make it down. Can I just shout out to everyone who's listening quickly?
You can thank your sponsors. You can give Barry Michael
Barry Michael Promotions, a big wrap up. Yeah,
do one of those call outs that they do on those love songs and dedications for Barry.
Yeah. I don't listen to love songs and dedications, but yeah, Barry Michael Promotions. It's going to be next fight night's October 17th. It's going to be an exciting fight night, exhilarating. I'll be main event, defending my IBO world title. Be there.
I'll tell you what, to Barry, that is as good as a love song. He'll love it. Zach, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And watch out, Country Ermis. You're up against a champ.
Thank you.
Thank you. Zach,
thanks, Zach.
Done. Super fit, super ready, super middleweight champion of the world. A break, and when we come back, we'll wrap it up on Radio Ringside, and I think Adam Scott might have an early birdie. Good news there for the Australian. He could not just finish off his round in the third round yesterday. Had he probably putted out the way he should have, he may well be an overnight, would have been an overnight leader. So this promising start, do not write Adam Scott out. A real chance to add the British Open to his US Masters title.